So basically, you have to understand, my whole week has been like really not so good. I don't know if you guys are having great weeks, but I'm thankful to be alive, but it's just been a tough week. So Joshua and my son normally don't work on Saturday. We were at the shop yesterday morning at 7. We're dealing with Jill's mom, and like Jill's trying to do this and that, and she's just, you know, grieving for her dad at the same time, is trying to take care of her mom. And I went to see a customer of mine who's also down, and it's just everything that's kind of seems like is building up. Jeremy, our little guy, we're getting ready to do therapy with him for the autism stuff, and it's just like, so that's coming up, and we're trying to get the house ready, and we're dealing with school stuff, because like the other morning, he kind of went after one of his siblings, and I kind of swatted him in the butt because he was actually going to try to hurt him. And then he gets on the couch, and he says, he starts crying, and Jaden tells me, he said that if you hurt me, they're going to take me away. And this is, so we normally homeschool, and now he's going to a school to help him. So all this stuff is kind of like on my mind, right? So all this craziness. And so then he gets sick. He's throwing up at different times. So all this was going on during the same week. And then Jill's leaving, obviously, this morning with her mom. So last night we're having this long conversation. How do we handle this if this happens? And so at about 10:30 or 11 last night, I was thinking to myself, thank God I don't have to prepare a message for tomorrow. So, I mean, because it's, you know, it's stressful because I'm trying to do my work and everything. And it's just like, it was just so funny. I thought that was really funny when he calls me at 7:30 this morning and says, hey, do you want to do that? So the interesting thing about this, though, is that normally, but you have to understand this, I love God's word. I love the fact that I've been brought into a relationship with him. It is the most amazing thing that has ever happened to me since I was 16 years old. Being brought into a relationship with Christ has changed everything for me. So I have a passion to want to share the gospel. And so I often have prayed, Lord, please take Dave out for a temporary amount of time so I could preach. Now, just kidding. Just so you guys know, I would maybe pray that, but never for Sandy to be taken out, just so you know. Because I know if something happens to Sandy, what do you guys think is going to happen to Dave? Seriously. Not good, right? Not good. And neither for me either. So anyway, I just want to tell you, I am actually super excited to share with you guys. It's fun because I really do feel like this is a family. It's not like preaching, like, you know, you got to preach like a big preacher guy. I don't even consider myself a preacher. He's a preacher. I would say I like to just talk about it. So this morning what I want to do is go back to Jude and have almost like a, what I would say is like a family conversation about this. Because I do want us to understand what he's talking about here and understand our responsibility in response to what he's calling us to do, as I read the passage. And so let me do this. I'm going to do something really quickly. I want to go over kind of what we went through before. And before that, let's pray that God would have his way with all of us this morning. Lord, I'm just thankful that you are God, you are sovereign, and you're on your throne. That no matter what happens to us down here, Lord, you are sovereign and good. And we say you are good all the time. You are good. We know that you exist, and we're confident in that, Lord, as we see you work in our lives throughout many, many years. And we have witnessed your faithfulness and goodness. Thank you that today is Palm Sunday. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son. Thank you that is a truth that we will fight for the rest of our lives. And that we fight, Lord, because we want you to be glorified. And we want those that we love and those that maybe we don't even know, but we want them to know the truth about you as well. So we say thank you for coming and dying. Thank you that God has loved us and loved this world in such a way that he would send his son to make a way for us to become right with you again, despite our sin and failure. We say we want to know you more today. We're coming here, Lord, because we have a desire to know you. And we want to know your word. And we want to be encouraged to fight for the truth. Thank you so much that you have given us a desire to be here with one another and to know your word and to fight for the gospel that saves. Thank you, as Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to save those who believe. And so we say thank you, and with that hope, we say, Lord, speak through me this morning. I can't do this on my own. I need your Holy Spirit to speak through me, and we're just asking that you would speak through your word this morning to all of us, and that we would be encouraged and equipped to contend for the faith. Pray that in your name. Amen. So, a few weeks ago, we were doing a section on Jude, and the idea is that we are called as Christians to contend for the faith. To contend for the faith. And how we described faith was the idea that it's the entire Christian experience. Some may say it's the gospel, you know, the idea that God loved the world, Christ died, rose again, we have the Holy Spirit, and we're being sanctified into a perfect image one time when we're actually in heaven with Him. But we are to contend and to fight for the gospel, as we looked at a couple weeks ago. And the reason is because the gospel has the power to save. And it's not just salvation of like finances and relationships and stuff like that. We're talking about our souls. We're talking about where we spend eternity. Where we spend eternity. And as we looked at our eternal destinies and those we love are at stake within this world, and it matters what you believe. It matters what we defend. What we promote is truth. And so we're saying the Bible is truth. And as we've done this, we're looking at this passage and we're saying, well, who are the ones that are going to contend for the truth? And as we looked at, it's us. It's not just Dave. It's not just people who know a lot about, you know, not PhD guys in Bible. We are all called to contend for the truth. All of us. If you're a Christian, you've been saved, you're a contender. You fight for the truth because the truth matters. Because you guys all touch people that none of us will ever touch. You're in situations that I'm not in. You're only in them. And I'm in situations that you're not in. And so all of us have a responsibility to contend for the truth because it's a matter of salvation for some. So what we looked at was who was to do that, and we're saying all Christians. So all Christians are to contend for the truth. The second thing we looked at is sometimes we're thinking about contending for the truth and we're asking this question. Well, sometimes if I do that, it doesn't seem loving to actually tell people that they're wrong. We have an issue, and we talked about the 11th commandment. You guys remember what the 11th commandment is? Thou shalt be what?
Nice.
So if you tell somebody, how many of you guys enjoy correcting other people? How about even when you're 100% right and you actually are right and you have to tell somebody who actually thinks that they're right, but you tell them they're wrong, and why would you do that? Because you love them. So really what you look at here is that you're contending for the faith because you love people. And you don't stop contending because you want to be nice to them. Being nice to them isn't actually nice. And we looked at an example of that hedge of thorns a couple weeks ago, where the kids couldn't get over the hedge, and they wanted to get over the hedge, and they thought the hedge was nasty and mean and not right. And what they wanted to do is get rid of the hedge. But the hedge is the gospel. And the gospel reveals our sin, and it tells us the truth about us. And it's hard because we actually have to submit to somebody else. How many of you guys like to submit anywhere in your life to anybody else? None of us do. What's even worse is that you submit to somebody who is definitely better than you are. And when we choose to submit to God, what are we doing? We're dying to ourselves. It's a process of death to the flesh. It's difficult for all of us. It's difficult even in our sanctification to continue doing right things. When God calls you, he said, I know you maybe have been a Christian for 60 years, but you still have a problem in this area. Are you willing to submit to me? And we have to answer to God for that. And we say, yes, Lord, I am wrong and you are right. That's repentance. And then we move on. And God sanctifies us and brings us closer to himself, and we become more like him. That's the truth being brought to a world that is in sin and is blind. And even in our sanctification, we are still blind at times, and we have brothers and sisters that will come help us. That's contending for the truth. Also contending for the truth is the idea that you tell people who are actually saying stuff that are wrong, people who are denying Christ. And we have doctrines of demons everywhere, in the schools, everywhere we see this. We live in lies about who God is, about his faithfulness. Is he really good? Because you see things that happen all the time, and the question is God good? How could he allow that to happen? How about the little babies that died in Syria this last week? How could God allow that to happen and be good? Those are difficult questions. They can be answered, but they're difficult. Contending for the faith is not easy. The third area that we struggle in contending for the faith is because what we want to say is, let's just contend for the big things. How about salvation? As we talk about here, it's interesting how he says, look, I was going to talk to you about salvation, but what he says is, I had to actually obey the Holy Spirit and tell you to actually contend for the faith. If you want to talk about big deals in Christianity, if you want to defend something, wouldn't you agree that sanctification and the idea of being saved and salvation is a big deal? That'd be a big doctrine, right? A lot of people argue, hey, unless it's like a salvific issue, I'm not really going to engage. Here's the thing. We need to be engaged at this level, especially when it talks about contending for the faith, because what he was going to talk about was salvation. That's a big deal. Where he ends up going to talking about, he says, by necessity, I need to tell you to contend for the faith. Because the gospel is being challenged. The gospel that which saves you, people are saying it's not true. If that happens, what happens? They deny God. They deny Christ. And then what? Then where are we if there is a denial of Jesus Christ? You're done. There is no hope. It's over. And so as Christians, what we're saying is, no, we're going to contend because all of us are to contend. It is a loving thing to do to contend for the faith. And the third thing that we're talking about right now is, listen, it's important. It is an important thing to do. And Jude is calling us to do that because without the gospel, we have nothing. We have nothing to offer anybody. But what we do know is that the Bible contains the words of life. And that's what we want. We need that for us. We need that for our children. We need that for our world. We offer hope through Jesus Christ. There is no other hope. That is all we have. So we contend and we fight because this is what's going to bring joy, peace, and love to this world. It's not being nice. It's not hiding. It's not saying this isn't important enough. We fight for the gospel because it's all we have. So let's do this. I want to go and talk about a few things. I want to talk about, as we start this challenge, and how many of you feel challenged by being considered a contender for the faith? I do. There's areas that I struggle in that I feel ill-equipped. But let's start with this. When we start as contenders, we need conviction. And we need conviction about the Bible. We need conviction about the truth. And as you have conviction, you will become convinced. Like, I try to watch as many documentaries and stuff. I listen to Mark stuff, and I listen because I need to know about all these areas. I need to be convicted about the Scripture. And I need to be convinced. Then what I want to do is look at this. Once you're convinced, then it leads to an area of competency. So we need to be convinced about the truth. And then when you're convinced about the truth, then you're all, okay, I'm getting this. This makes sense. I see what God's saying here. I understand that. And then as you're convicted, you become convinced because you actually start applying these things to your own life. And as you start applying scripture to your life, you're saying, oh, actually, maybe not lying in that situation was actually better. Or being nice to my wife, or being nice to my kids, or not yelling at the people at work. And these are all the things that God's calling us to do. And as we do them, we become convinced that He's actually right. And then it should lead us to competency. And competency is really understanding the scriptures, really digging in, finding more, learning about why is this way? Why does God do this? What about the problem of evil? Why do little children die? Why is this even allowed? How does this fit? And then you continue to pore over the scriptures and you learn more and more. And that helps you in your competency. And as you become competent in the scriptures and you're learning more and more, then I think what happens is you become compelled to actually tell the message. Because you're absolutely convinced at this point. You said, look, there is no other deal. This is the deal. It's kind of like all those deals that they do, you know, the multi-level marketing. Have you ever had somebody excited about a deal? I got a deal for you. You're not going to believe how much money you're going to make. It's amazing. And like their whole life is about that deal, whatever it is. I know that because I've been involved in one or two myself. But eventually, as exciting as those may be, the Bible, understanding that, understanding the gospel, being able to share the truth with other people, that matters, is way better. It's the best deal of all. In fact, it probably is the best multi-level marketing strategy that's ever been. Competency leads to you being compelled. And I think part of the compelling part of scripture is that you're compelled to actually be obedient. And as you do that and you become more obedient, you see that it actually works. And like I tell my kids, whether you believe it or not, you will never be disappointed if you tell the truth. You'll never be disappointed if you're giving, if you're loving. And you can go down all the fruit of the Spirit, and you tell me, anybody in here, I challenge you, you tell me, love, joy, peace, patience. If you bring any of those things into a relationship as a byproduct of your relationship with Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, when have you ever been disappointed in anything that God has told you to do and you've actually done? Anybody. It will never happen if you're honest. It works. That's not the only test for truth, but that's one of them. They call it, in the big terms, existential viability. Can you actually live out what you believe? When you start to live out what you believe, you're going to become more convinced and more compelled to do this. And what we're getting to is that you can't even help but tell people when you get to this point. Next thing that happens is you become confident in it. You have a confidence that you can't shake because you're seeing it happen in your own life. You're seeing it happen in people that maybe you're starting to share this with. And when somebody's down in the dumps in the worst situation possible, what you're going to reach for is not your pocketbook to help them, give them money to get out of it. You're going to reach for the gospel because that's the truth that they need. And you're going to be convinced of it because you've been compelled in your own life to live it out. And you're going to see that it works. And it is amazing. And after that confidence, I think you become committed, and you're in it, and you're in it for the long haul, and there's nothing that's going to get in your way of sharing this, because you move from conviction to competency to confidence. And when that happens, there is a commitment to the truth, but you can't stop. You have to do it. You're compelled. And you know scriptures about that, right? I am compelled. That's what Paul said. I'm compelled to share the gospel. There is nothing else that I have for people except the gospel. That's it. That's all I got. And what I love about that is in Romans, in 1:16, he says that I am not ashamed of the gospel. You guys know that verse? I've already said it once. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to save. So that's where this leads. We are a people of God who are called to contend for the truth. And we do it by having a conviction of the Word of God. So let me read a couple of scriptures for you on this. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God. Think about that. It's all inspired by Him. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I want to read another verse to you. Listen to this. This is 1 Timothy 1:12. We had one conversation earlier that, am I qualified? I don't know if you guys remember that, but am I qualified to actually be a contender? Listen to this. This is Paul 1:12. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ has qualified you to be a contender for the faith. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your past. If you've been redeemed by Him, you've repented of those sins, and you're walking with Him, you are fully qualified to engage in any discussion about Christ at all. You are to be the messengers. You are to disciple. You are to lead. You are to find these people who are hurting when you're sitting in a restaurant. It's your obligation now as Christians. As Paul said in Romans, he says, look, we're not obligated to the flesh anymore. We're obligated to the Spirit. And then when the Spirit is calling you to engage, engage for His glory. It's beautiful. And if we need to go back to certain things, let's start from ground zero. Let's start with this conviction, because the conviction comes from Scripture. I want to read you kind of a longer passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn there with me. I'm going to read 12 through 20. So the conviction that we must have, listen to this. I love this part. This is Peter saying, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. Have you noticed that in Scripture, we know a lot of Scripture, but what do we need? It's not that we need, we need to be reminded. And these guys knew that. A lot of us know all this stuff. I'm not telling you guys anything new, most likely. But what Peter knows is that we need to be reminded of these things. So even though you already know them, he says, you have been established in the truth which is present with you. Consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to recall these things to mind. Now listen to this. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you contend for the truth, I want you to be convinced, because you're not following cleverly devised tales. When it comes to a point where you're in a conversation and you're afraid of feeling foolish because there's somebody across the table that has a PhD in psychology and all this other stuff, and they think they know everything about everything, and you feel not confident to share your faith, not only are you qualified by Jesus Christ to do so, I just want you to know you're not following a cleverly devised tale. These men were eyewitnesses. It says, but he continues, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They saw it. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such as the utterance as was made to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. They saw this. They saw this. This is not a tale. This, you guys understand that the Bible, if you read Josh McDowell's book, this is the most substantiated book that there is in antiquity. There isn't anything else that has more copies in existence. Eyewitnesses. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such as an utterance as was made to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and we have ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. You're not following a devised tale of some sort. This is eyewitness. You have the right to have confidence in God's word. You have a right to have that. And that confidence leads to conviction. Turn with me to, if you want, 2 Timothy 1:12, one of my favorite verses. Paul says, this is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. How many of you guys have memorized that verse at one point or another? Maybe you don't know it now. At least one? Okay. Homework for next week. Memorize that verse. Don't do one TV show this week and memorize that verse. Okay? That's my challenge to you. Because conviction leads to you being convinced. So let's talk about competency. Competency is also very important. Because you need to know the Scripture. Be convinced of the truth. Know the truth. Because what you need to do is you need to begin to know it for you, but you need to begin to apply it to your own lives. And that happens when you become competent. So competency, I'm just going to read you one passage, that one of my favorite ones, about being in the Word. And it's Joshua 1:8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Think about that. The Word of God should not depart from your mouth. What do you think that means? This should be a part and fabric of everything that you do. You should not think about anything that's significant. You should not make decisions. You should not do anything without thinking through, how does Scripture apply to the decisions I'm about to make? Nothing should be handled by you without the influence of Scripture. But I'm telling you, the reason why that doesn't happen in your life and in my life is because we forget about being convinced of how true it is. We forget about the fact that we were convinced by it at one point. Competency will help you to understand Scripture in a way that will help you to apply it to your life. Nothing should be done in our lives without consulting Scripture. Because how quickly, you know, you realize we're considered like lambs, right? And lambs need to be led. Otherwise, we're kind of foolish, right? Look at what Paul talked to the Galatians. They had God's word, they had everything. And what did they do? Literally within a few short years. He says, "You foolish Galatians, why have you done this?" Because they had the word of God and they turned around and went the other way. And he called them out on it. Because they're lacking conviction and they're lacking their understanding of God's word and they're not applying it. So what you have to do is be convinced. But you have to understand that you have to know it. And this is what we're talking about in Joshua. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Why? Because you need to know it. And you are in a battle yourself against your flesh. You have to fight the flesh. And you fight it with God's word. If you don't have God's word in you, you will lose. Guarantee you. And here's, let me give you a great example of my own life. Here's what I know. When I get up in the morning and I don't read my Bible, I don't pray, or I don't do anything, here's what I'm saying. Oh, it's such a beautiful morning. The birds are chirping. The sun's up. And I'm just going to go along my way. And I'm good. I'm good this morning. I don't really need you, God. I'm good. I'm fine. I'll see you maybe later this afternoon if I get around to it. Unless Blacklist is showing or something like that. If we get up in the morning, and this isn't a legalistic thing, this is a necessity thing. If you really want to follow hard after Christ, and you want to have the sense that I want to be a contender for the gospel, because I want to fight for what's true, you're not going to be able to fight well without being with Jesus every morning when you start your day. If you're not waking up thinking that I am desperate need of Him, you will be fooled and tricked all day long. I guarantee you. Your day will not go as planned, or at least as God would have planned it for us. These are important things. To be a contender, we must be competent in the Scriptures. And being competent means that the word will not depart from our mouth and we will meditate on it day and night. So that, and here's the reason why, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And we just covered that. Because if you don't read the Scripture, if you don't practice competency in that way, you won't know what's right. You will make bad decisions even though that you're a Christian. You will give bad advice even though you're a Christian. Because your competency is going to come through Christ. But we need to be meditating on the Word day and night so we know what to do. So that you're careful to do all according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have success. And again, when you talk about prosper and success here, this is prosper and success of the gospel. That's what's in mind here. It's not personal, although that tends to be a benefit. Because when you're doing the right thing, you're blessed as well as everybody else. And he says, "Have I not commanded you?" He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And the reason why he can say that is he has confidence. Because no matter what happens, what? God is good. I'm being faithful to the Scriptures. I'm going to be faithful to do what's in there. I'm going to counsel to do this. I'm going to counsel my children to do what's good. I want to be able to explain to them why it's good. That's the competency. So you know what's good and you can explain it. And then after that, we move to the idea of being compelled. Because once you know it and you do it, and you see it happening, it's amazing. And there's a compelling aspect of this, that it forces you into these relationships. It forces you into conversations because you can't help but share the truth. You can't help it because you're convinced of it. You're convicted. And now you're compelled because you're confident in this and you know what's right now. It's like when I hear people talk, we're in conversations all the time. It's like, it is so much fun. I had a conversation with Justin, my 24-year-old now. And he's asking me questions about Genesis. And he said this guy is talking about Genesis, how it's just kind of an overall view of how we see how humanity came in. Yeah, he's already shaking his head. And what's so interesting is, I'm all, Justin, listen to me. I understand that you've just heard a bunch of persuasive arguments so that this man doesn't have the need to submit to God. Because that's what this is about. He is trying to figure out a way, any way he can, so he doesn't have to submit his life to somebody else. He does not want to be under authority. So you tell me, Justin, how did people even get here then? How did this all happen? Because you're standing and looking at a guy and tell him, why are you here? He can't answer the most basic question. He can't answer the question about, how about this, Justin? What does he do with his sin and his guilt and his shame? How does he deal with it? He has no way to deal with it. He just doesn't. And so what I am doing is I'm taking Scripture, what I know of Scripture, what it tells us about who we are, and I'm helping him to apply this because he wants, and he told me, he said, Dad, I want to believe, but I'm concerned. I want to make sure I'm not doing this in a way that I'm just, because I've told them, you know, if you were born in a Mormon house, you'd probably be Mormon. If you're born in a, you know, Jehovah's Witness house, you'd probably be Jehovah's Witness. If you're born a Christian, you'd probably be a Christian. If you're born a liberal, you're going to be a liberal. Conservative, you're going to be a conservative. And so, and I scared the, you know what, out of them. Because I want them to think. But if I'm going to be a dad that's going to do that, I better know the word. Or I'm going to mess them up even more. But everybody in the world is telling your kids that story. Even though they may not tell you, because they're afraid to, maybe they ask you, you're not going to be able to answer the question. So that's why competency is so important for Christians. Don't be a Christian and take it lightly. We have to take this seriously. And again, you take it seriously so you can contend for the truth. So once you have conviction, you're convinced, you have competency, which leads to being compelled, then you have confidence. And this is what we're talking about. Like when I raised that question with Justin yesterday, I have the confidence to tell him the truth because I know what I believe works and it makes sense. It's logical, it's irrational, and it actually works. And so I love these conversations with him. I love walking through this with him. I don't feel like, you know, oh, what do I do now? He's an atheist. No. I don't freak out like that because I have the truth. And I'm able to contend for the truth because I have it. So I'm going to wrap these up in this. Confidence leads to commitment. And again, I love the verse, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power to save. It's why we do what we do as Christians. It's why you would engage. It's why you would tell your kids what you tell them. You tell them the truth because you love them. So don't let anybody tell you that you're not the person to contend for the truth. You are. You're qualified in Christ. It's the loving thing to do, to contend for the truth. And also, it's the most important thing because it has to do with the gospel. Because without the gospel, we have nothing. And I wrote down a few things here, and I want to end with a story because I like this. This actually happened Friday morning. But we contend for the faith, listen to me, because we love people. And your love for people comes from God, who also loves people. Even in the passage in Jude, it's amazing when you look at that. It talks about the idea that you are called, loved by God, and kept by Jesus. If you understand what that's like, that's a not so veiled reference to the Trinity. And the reason why God is love is because he exists in perfect unity. Each of the persons loving, deferring, and glorifying the other. God himself is love. And the fact that you're saved, comes from the fact that he is love. If he wasn't love, you would have never experienced it the way you have in Christ. Your salvation is an overflow of God's love. Do you see that? This is what's so amazing about the truth. This is the God that we serve. Your very salvation comes because God is love himself. And we're not ashamed of this. And so we love people by telling them the truth. Yeah, are we gonna make people mad? You bet. And if you tell the wrong people, you may even get hit. And if you tell the really wrong people, they'll kill you. Today. And I'm not joking. But you are loving people by sharing the truth. So we contend for the faith because we love them enough to tell them the truth. Like what I told my kids in so many different ways, and this is what I tell people that I know, if you choose to sin, you choose to suffer. That's the truth. And there is no other truth besides that. So that's why we tell them the gospel, because we don't want them to suffer. So contending for the faith is how we live out our Christian experience in obedience to Christ as an outward expression of being truly loved ourselves. Let me read that one more time. So contending for the faith is how we live out our Christian experience in obedience to Christ as an outward expression of being truly loved ourselves. So Friday morning, we're meeting with our guys who were, you know, praying that the Lord, if he has us do a church, you know, we've talked about that, talk about planning a church. And so there's four of us that meet on a regular basis, and we're talking. And so we're having our little conversation in the corner of Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. And we're just talking, and this kid kind of comes in and sits almost right, it's right in the middle of our conversation. It was really interesting, like a 17-year-old kid. And he's sitting there, we're talking about God and this, and then all of a sudden this kid chimes in. He said, yeah, I think that's true about God. I've kind of, you know, blah, 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 and we're all, say what? You know, it's like, yeah. So we're like, and it was so fun, because what happened was, as the conversation went on, we realized that, you know, he was a young guy, 17, moved down, really turns out kind of a crazy situation. And Carl, who's our friend who's been here, actually he's back there right now. And so Carl ends up, and we kind of engage him, but Carl, who has more time than all of us because he has no work right now. Just teasing. So it's so sweet, because I had to go to work, another guy had already left, and then Carl, because he's convicted of God's word. He's competent in God's word. He's confident in God's word. He ends up taking this young man and talking through him all about all different kinds of different theological stuff, and why this is working, that's not working, and I love the fact that he stayed there and talked to him and told him things that were really difficult. He's a young Christian living with non-Christian parents, all kinds of stuff going on, and what I loved about it, though, is that he took the time to actually engage this young person and told him some truth that he needed to hear. He was contending for the truth in this guy's life. And it happens because we love people. And all of us have done that in different situations. And that is the ultimate, in my mind, of us contending for the truth. When we have situations that arise, it could be family, grandchildren, anywhere you can find it. My friends, if we are convicted of the truth, convinced of the truth, we're competent, we're compelled to tell the truth because we know it and it's working our lives. That is the most amazing thing that we can do as believers, is to then be committed to sharing the gospel wherever the Lord leads you. And so my challenge is, do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do it with love. but tell the truth because that's the right thing to do. And remember this, when it comes down to ideas that are diametrically opposed to the gospel, things that are opposed to God, we need to stand and fight because those things are important for us to deal with. And God may have you in a situation that none of us will ever be able to be in, but God has called you to do it. You are equipped. You're qualified. You have everything you need to deliver the gospel in a beautiful way. Just like we talked about the idea of the whole thing about communicating the gospel, apologetics, you communicate it in a winsome and an effective way. The things that you know and the things that you have believed in. So, my friends, go contend for the gospel. Amen.